7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
You made, and Mom just drove up.
Give me something fast.
Here, 409 works fast.
Yeah.
Before you start to what? Get in the kitty business, pet. Okay, so the cat just showed up. Hi. Getting in the kitty business, pet. That's so good for babies. And the current time is 19:30 UTC, and that means it's time to begin another exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. Hello and welcome to the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. I have a cat sitting here on my lap on the kitty banky. Are you licking the banky? Oh, does the banky taste good? It's the most delicious kitty banky ever. So yeah, I'm having an extraordinarily strange day so far. Is it bad news? Is it good news? Well, I don't even know where to start. First of all, I had a sort of a rough night, and that's fine. When do I not have a rough night? So then I got up, and then I was doing stuff, and then weird stuff started going down. I can't get into the details, but the good news is I made a little bit of money, and that's good. And it was just enough money to buy me some gasoline to last until, oh God, I gotta go 15 days. That should be okay as long as I don't actually drive anywhere weird, as long as I don't go to Fort Calhoun or, you know, go looking for NDBs out in Fremont or anything like that, which I really want to do, but it's too hot. And that's the other bad news. It's really hot outside today. Somehow it's hitting 90 degrees. It's going to be 100 degrees tomorrow. These are, of course, American measurements. Because it's an American plane. Smoking or non-smoking, dingins. Pippa says, I'm on the banky. We're having fun banky time. And, oh my God, I can't even think. I'm under the big time crunch. Kind of. I was. I actually gained some time, too. I gained time. I gained dollars of money. The good news is I managed to replace some of the money that I already spent. And, things might be turning around a little bit. Gasoline is still expensive. As long as I don't drive anywhere, I've got food. That's the good news. I'm just extremely cash poor, which is fine because I don't need to buy anything except synth. The worst part of it is I have enough money in my pocket to buy that synth thing I want, to buy that Euclidean rhythm generator. I could get the Turing machine too. Oh, but I can't spend the money on synth. I have to spend it on real life. I have to get more dollars of money. How many more dollars of money do I need? A bunch. I really don't need the vowel thing, but I do need the Euclidean thingy. Yeah, that's $109 plus shipping, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to be able to buy that for a while. That's okay. I don't really super badly death need it, so it's going to wait. And speaking of waiting, I got to test that other cable. The Emeritus sent me another cable. Actually, it was more than one. It said, hey, test these to see if they invert the signal. I still haven't done that because I've been busy doing other stuff. What other stuff have I been doing? Well, if you were paying attention yesterday, you know that I made a panel. And I was going to populate that panel yesterday. And I did that. And I like it. And it actually kind of looks neat too. And I did go to the hobby store. And I also went to the dollar store. Don't tell anybody. Yeah, the good news is I went to the hobby store, and when I walked in, I got scared because all of the old Radio Shack parts that they had were off the shelf. But I noticed that they had them in some bus tubs or something, so I started digging through, found the Switch relatively quickly, was very happy about that. And then I found some bolts. I said, I think that will work in my synthesizer. So I had to spend $4 on the Switch. Oh my God, a dollar more than I even thought it was gonna be. And I spent $2.39 on the little bolts, the little screws for my rack, which is about 10 cents per screw, which is what I was expecting to pay anyway, so that's fine. The only downside to these particular screws is that they are hex key. They're hex head bolts. And I got them anyway just because, oh, all the screws in my racks are different formats. Anyway, I got knurlies, I've got slotted, I've got Phillips, and now I've got these hex heads. It's so stupid. It's the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Diverse synthesizer ever. There's nothing standard about it. There's not even two modules in it by the same company. Well, that's not true, because now there's two modules in it that I built. That's right, I got the Switch yesterday, and then I also went to the dollar store, and I bought some paper doilies, which weren't very good, but they have an interesting aspect to them. And I got a lot, and they were cheap, and I got different sizes. And then I also bought, where are they? They're right here. I bought some of these little, like, sticky flags that you put on documents and notebooks and stuff. I got these so I can put them in my great idea notebook over here so I can find the various lists that I create. Because I spend more time flipping through this notebook trying to find where to write something down than I actually do writing things down. So I've got these things so I can stick them on there and blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. I did see some other cool stuff in the dollar store that I didn't buy. So that's how I saved dollars. Either way, I spent $10. Or more yesterday. I spent $4 plus $6.39 plus like $4.01 at the... Yeah, I spent like $12. Yeah, the dollar store is not a dollar store anymore. They didn't change the name. It's still called Dollar Store. But everything now costs $1.25. And yeah, I can see why they didn't change the name of the store, because changing that entire chain's name to $1.25 store would cost a lot. You think of all the signs you have to make. Think of all the things you have to reprint. Oh my God, the economy of dollar stores. What do you think about that, Peppa? Peppa doesn't think anything about it. So, what are we doing? We're just sitting here in the kitty business pit, because that's what we have to do. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, are you ever going to get around to telling us about the thing that you made, this panel? Yeah, well, it's not the coolest thing in the world. It's just more utility stuff, and it's more of what I've already built. Well, and then some extra stuff. I built this panel, and I don't remember how big it is. It's about, I don't know, 6 or 7 centimeters wide. I don't know. What do you think, Pip? It's about this wide, so how many centimeters is that? She says, it's 6 centimeters, because I have metric cat. You're a good metric baby. Yes, that's why you weigh 7 kilograms. 7 kilo, baby. And 8 kilograms of that is fluff. All right. So, yeah, I made this thing. And what is it? Oh, it's just an attenuator. Because I need attenuators. Another attenuator. This time it's, you know, in the rack. And also on that same panel is another multiplier, because you need plenty of multipliers. And then I also put in a switch, the AB switch. That's what I needed the switch for. And then when I was building it, I was thinking, you know what else I need? Or actually, I don't need it so much as, you know what might come in handy sometime? Is an electric switch, a switch, an AB switch that I can send a trigger to switch things. Do I know how to make that? Do I have any idea how to build something like that? Well, first of all, it requires power. So we'll put that on the next panel. The next panel I build is going to be powered stuff. And I've got a power cable, I just don't have the headers for it. Gotta get a... Where the hell am I going to buy that? I don't know. Yeah, but the next thing to buy, or to build, is the weird master clock module. So I will put my death clock on it. The glacier clock. Can't wait to get into some of that craziness. And, also this weird flip-flop. Basically, what I want is an AB switch that can work both ways. It's got to be bi-directional. But I want to be able to trigger it. I want to be able to feed it triggers. So then it'll switch. Ahaha! That's a great idea, Tobe. How do you build something like that? I don't know. I don't know exactly. But I need a latch or a flip-flop or something similar. And what does that require? I don't know. Little electronic parts that I will then solder together and maybe solder them on a board and then mount them on the panel somehow? I don't know. Haven't gotten that far. I was also thinking about making a square wave LFO. I realize that sounds crazy. What would you ever use it for? Well, square wave LFO is just, regular gates. So I was kind of thinking that would be handy. Oh, that's the other thing I got to put on the power panel. We got to do the infinity gate. And I saw something about that. I was looking at schematics of something else, and then I noticed that somebody did something. What was that? Oh, I'll look for it later. But I got to look that up because it was basically a better way to do the infinity gate without... It was basically a debounced infinity gate. So yeah, I gotta learn how to make those, because I don't know how. That's fine. Oh boy. And it seems like I wrote something down on this piece of paper. Yes, I did. Oh yeah. This was just a note to myself. It just says, dope for A100 do-it-yourself page. On the dope for website, they actually have a page where they show you how to make things like band pass filters, low pass filters, high pass filters, passive type stuff, and mixers and stuff like that. That's handy, because I'm gonna have to make a mixer. What else did I write down? I guess that was it. Just lots of interesting notes to myself, like 10,000 ohm potentiometer. Why did I write that down? I don't know. And that's the other thing I need to build. I need to build another... Do I want to do that today? I kind of need to build another low-pass gate. Another Vactrol-controlled low-pass gate. I've got the Vactrol. I just need to... I'm going to redo it. I'm going to do something to it. And I might add an LED to it just so I can see it when it's on. But I don't really need to do that. I just like to have, extra bonus flashing lights. And who doesn't? So, geez, I kind of got a lot of stuff to do today, but I've already sort of done a lot of stuff. I kind of made myself a little bit sick already today, but I'm maintaining. I'm good. I got to figure out what I'm going to eat today. I did go to the store last night, bought some more of those cookies. I also bought a boatload of guacamole. I'm eating guacamole today. That's what I'm eating. Oh, I just remembered something I screwed up, didn't I? No, it's all right. So I got guacamole today. I'm going to eat chips and guacamole and maybe a salad. Maybe a salad later. Huh, or maybe I should eat the salad first and then eat the chips. I don't know. I haven't really decided yet. I haven't thought about it. I really need to sort of go see. I can't remember what all I bought last night, other than the cookies. Oh yeah, I got graham crackers, of course. And I had a whole big basket full of food. Huh, I don't know what I bought. I can tell you what I didn't buy, though, and I'm not proud of it, because I want some more than anything. All I want is some poochin' pudding pudding.
Pressure drop is the difference in pressure as measured between two points in a pipe with flowing fluid. For a control valve, the pressure drop is the difference between the inlet pressure and the outlet pressure. It varies with flow. The calculation for pressure drop looks like this: delta P equals P1 minus P2. The pressure drop is usually measured in pounds per square inch differential, or PSID. Inlet or upstream pressure is shown as P1. Outlet or downstream pressure is shown as P2. P1 is measured 2 pipe diameters upstream of the valve. P2 is measured 6 pipe diameters downstream of the valve. Your process or instrumentation department will provide these variables. To calculate the pressure drop across a valve, subtract the outlet pressure from the inlet pressure. For example, if P1 is 3,000 psi and P2 is 2,000 psi, the pressure drop will equal 1,000 psid. If the flow rate is going to vary, repeat the calculation of P1 and P2 at each flow rate.
Yeah, okay. That's good to know. I will keep that in mind. All I need to do to calculate pressure drop is to know the formula. Delta P equals P1 minus P2. That would be the change in pressure equals the pressure 2 diameters upstream minus the pressure 6 diameters downstream. That's how you calculate pressure drop. And we do love pressure drop here on the Dubious Goals Committee. We might as well just call this the Dubious Pressure Drop Committee, because come on. Let's face it, we had to hear pressure drop from The Clash, and then, back to back, we had to hear too much pressure from The Selector. Very cool, very cool. But the question in everybody's mind is still, what is pressure?
If you were to grab a balloon and jab it with your fist, nothing would happen. If you were to grab the same balloon and jab it with the same amount of effort, but this time hold a sharp, pointed knife in your fist, well, the balloon would most likely pop. This is because even though the force being applied is the same, the area to which it's being applied is much smaller, somewhere in the order of 1 to 2,000 times smaller. Consequently, the balloon feels that force as being 1 to 2,000 times more intense when you jab at it with the knife. Pressure is a way of describing precisely how intensely a force is being applied or felt by an object. It's calculated by dividing the magnitude of the force by the area it's being applied to. This means that the same force can exert different levels of pressure depending on the size of the area it's being distributed over. If a force is being distributed over a small, concentrated area, then the pressure will be relatively large. Conversely, if the force is being distributed over a large area, it gets spread out and the pressure it exerts is relatively small.
Yeah, okay, so what you're trying to tell me is that this is all a bunch of science? Yeah, good, because I like science. Hate doing math problems, but yeah, science. I think I can do pressure. I can do subtracting. Subtracting is good. I like subtracting. I like subtractive synthesis. I like additive synthesis. I like all kinds of synthesis. I also like to drink tea, and I don't think I'm drinking nearly enough tea. So let's get some tea. What do we got today? Oh, we're still on the Gaoshan. That's okay. I like it. It's getting a little cold, though. Somebody needs to heat this tea up. Why do I suspect that somebody is going to be me? Right, so the other thing I need is some ballpoint pens. Do I need to go out and buy ballpoint pens? No. Because I'm pretty sure I've got ballpoint pens laying around here somewhere. Up in the kitchen, in the pen zone. I have this problem every once in a while. I will see pens somewhere. Colorful ones. Colorful ballpoint pens with colored ink in them. And I will think, ooh, those pens look like delicious candy. I need to buy them. And so then I buy them, and then I put them somewhere, and I can't find them. And then I always think, but I don't want to use those because they look so pretty. Their colors are so delicious looking. Where the hell did I put those pens? Because I have this one good black pen, and I know that I've got some more of these somewhere, but I can't find them. And I also know that I have these in different colors. Like, I have a lime green one somewhere still in the package. Why am I not writing all this stuff down with lime green ink? I could be like, see, we've talked about the green ink before. I don't think we need to go into it now, except all the people who didn't hear the green ink rants are now going, Tobe, what are you talking about? Yeah, the green ink. And then that in that same package of pens, which is around here somewhere, it's in the kitchen. Maybe we should be looking for that right now. There's also a pen with purple ink in it, and where are these pens? My concern here is I'm running out of ink. I've been using this pen so much that I can no longer see any more ink in the tube, which means it's going to run out of ink very soon. And I need another pen, because this is my writing stuff down pen, but I need to put another pen in the other room where I write down the magic numbers for Dubious Goals Committee that I have to write down and that I need to save so I know what to type in when I have to do the streaming for the Anon Radio. And I've been using a pencil, and not a normal pencil, no, not even a mechanical pencil. What do I have in there? One of those big, fat Ticonderoga beginner's pencils. You know, one of those pencils that's 12 centimeters in diameter. It's fun, but it doesn't write very well, and it makes big, wide marks because the lead is so thick, and we can complain about pencils on a different episode of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every damn day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. I gotta get out the guacamole and measure the pressure drop.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.